Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark millennial Ben, presented by Breaks Plus. We got a lot of this. You see that Rockies fan get punched by the Padres fan? Why was there no arrest? We got a few questions about that. Actually, it was because the person who got punched and knocked out did not press charges.
What, does he not remember he got punched and knocked out? I mean, he got knocked out. I mean, yes. By the way,
why would you not press charges?
Maybe you did something.
Maybe you did say, like, some magic words that you look back on and say, I didn't deserve to get punched like that, but I probably deserve to get punched.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it. Handle your business. We know you don't clean out your own koi pond. Who is this? Shame on you.
Hey, folks, can I just give you a bit of wedge-driving advice? If you ever want to get on Mark's bad side, if you ever want to get under his skin, either say that his lawn is done by a landscaping service or that he doesn't really take care of his own koi pond.
Those are fighting words. You want to bust on my family? That's fine.
Yeah, right.
Right? I don't care. Be my guest. But don't talk about my koi pond. I get knee-deep in my koi pond. I'm in there all just in the water. Every year. Sometimes twice a year. Clean all the sludge and the nastiness out.
Oof. Let's get to a question mark presented by Breaks Plus. This one comes in. Mark, did the Broncos do enough addressing the right tackle position? And I'll add, after the Juwan James injury, they signed Bobby Massey and Cam Fleming.
Yeah. Cam Fleming started a bunch for the Giants last year, had some type of rotational system at the tackle position for the Giants last year. He played in Dallas. Cam Fleming to me is a backup player. That has value. A good backup that you can come in, you can get out of a game or you can start for a couple of games. And it's not one of those where you're like, we're going to be in trouble here. Like, Cam Fleming is a good player and so is Bobby Massey. They're not NFL superstars by any stretch of the imagination, but Bobby Massey is a good player. He started for 8 years in this league. He's 31. I mean, he can play. So. He's a good player. Yeah, they did a good job of dressing that hole.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, Evans, is it just me or is Stink CrossFit guy times a million? You want to know how to tell Stinker is right? Just wait 2 minutes and he'll tell you how right he is, Mr. Know-It-All Island.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Wow. Talk about fighting words.
No,
I mean, you can insult people many ways, but to say that they're worse than CrossFit guy?
Well, no. I mean, this is just, like, this is somebody that desperately wants me to be wrong, but knows that I'm not because of his love affair with Elway.
Think that's what it is?
Yes. And so he desperately wants me to be wrong on all accounts, but he knows that I'm right, and it really irritates him. So he's got to, say stupid things that aren't relevant. Sorry. I mean, what am I going to do?
Just continue to be right.
It's all I can do.
Mm. There's another one. Is it just me or is everybody super excited to watch Tim Tebow line up at tight end and try to block Von Miller and Bradley Chubb early next season?
What do you think? Honestly, what do you think the odds are that he actually makes the football team?
He makes the football team. I think they're pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. I think.
Did you see the time when he ran out as the Jets tight end? He was in motion and he ran a little flat route and didn't get his head around. The ball hit him right in the helmet.
Yeah. I know. You're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're rebuilding. you have trouble drawing fans. You got that giant tarp across the
right
upper deck. You did, you know, you went full Oakland Raiders with your tarp.
That's true. Sorry. There's nobody Sorry, more Raider prepared. Fan. There's nobody more prepared. There was no team more prepared for COVID rules of not having fans in the stands than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct.
They were used to it.
Correct. And they're also going to be playing, what, a couple games in London this year?
One.
At least
I think
one?
There's only two games in London,
London?
This year.
Okay. So that helps draw. So, yeah, I mean, you had the luxury of toting this guy along.
Right. You're
as
saying that he won't make it on merit.
No.
He'll make it on ticket sales.
Oh, yeah, no. He won't. He shouldn't even be given the chance if this was based solely on merit. Shouldn't even be given the chance
to do
this.
What will that do? Seriously, though, what will that do to Urban Meyer if you keep Tim Tebow and he doesn't make it on merit? From just a credibility standpoint and, you know, what it does.
Well, he can't be out there stumbling around, okay? But, you know, throw a look like you're really engaged in some blocking and really working hard and trying hard and driving your knees and your hips and
yeah,
catch a couple passes. Sure. And what about the idea? Now, this is my own opinion. This is just NFL people weighing in, a lot of NFL players weighing in. The idea that he can be a positive locker room presence, that has been universally panned. The idea that this guy's going to be some sort of locker room leader as a third string tight end. You buy that?
No, not at all. It'll be more divisive to me than it would be, you know, I mean, because if he makes it and he doesn't make it and it's not merit based, then I think everybody will give him a chance and, you know, that's the way the NFL locker room works. Everybody give him a chance and stuff, but you got to make it on merit. And if you're kept around because you work hard, you're whatever, you know, that's not good enough.
Well, here's where I'll have a lot of respect for Tebow. A lot of respect. And this whole exercise will win me over. Is if he gets there and the press, you know, gathers in around him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim. And he just says, hey, listen, I'm just here to try to make the football team. I got a lot of work to do, a lot of ground to make up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to talk right now. I just want to concentrate on the football. Plenty of other guys here to talk to. If he did that, I'd be like, okay.
What are the odds?
But
of that?
if the Jaguars have to set up a once a week press conference for him, then I'll be like, okay, this is
right,
exactly
we'll
what I initially thought it was.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, just a PR stunt. All right, we shall see. It is time for the Fan Film Room.
Welcome to the Fan Film Room. Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater.
We do like Drew Lock, but we do realize we want competition.
Ready to break down the film on the Broncos quarterback battle. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
So all week long, we've been taking a look at Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater games against common opponents. And we saved the best for the last when actually the Broncos played Carolina. And the Broncos won in what was arguably Drew Lock's best game of the season. In that game, let me get the numbers here correctly for you. Want to be precise with the numbers. He threw four touchdowns in that game, four touchdown passes. And he was, here we go. Drew Lock threw for 280 yards as he was 21 of 27. 21, 27, 280 yards, four touchdowns, no picks, and only one sack. Bridgewater was 30 of 40 for 283 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, four sacks. First of all, was that the performance that anybody who hopes and believes that Drew Lock can make a jump this year, is that the game you point to?
Well, I think that obviously is the game that you look at. Now, with that said, like there were a lot of things that went the Broncos' way in regards to, you know, coverage and opportunities. So the KJ Hamler little stutter go, it didn't even really stutter. He just kind of came off the ball, and the DB, you know, about, I mean, it just like absolutely almost fell down. And then he's on a go on a single high safety. And Drew, to Drew's credit, like that was an individual route on that side. Drew throws it, touchdown. It was great. There's another KJ Hamler one where they're playing a, what you would call, I think it's called different things, but depending upon obviously who's calling it, but it's essentially a cut cover three, meaning two vertical routes on the left side. So the corner on that side who's in cover three splits those vertical routes, and cut means if you get any over route off from the opposite side, the safety rolls down hard on that over route and the corner replaces the safety and goes and helps any inside breaking route. And so the safety cut it. The corner also jumped the over route and the corner was left in no man's land running between two receivers, and Drew Lock, to his credit, saw it, threw it, touchdown. So, two really good plays, two really good throws. Also had a great, you know, a stutter go with a flat combination to Jerry Jeudy that he threw on a big completion that went for about 40 yards or so. So there was a couple of really nice throws.
The bootleg right where he stopped, pivoted.
Yeah, the design, they call that a leak route. So it's off a boot and you leak somebody, goes down like he's blocking, gets caught up in all the traffic, and then boom, leaks. And that was Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick, right.
And that was a nice throw as well. So there was a lot of really nice throws, a lot of good design, but a lot of those were coverage breakdown misses where it was wide open. There was one or two plays where I saw that, which intrigued me, where the number one receiver, the issue with all those throws, every one of those throws, is that's the guy you're reading. And we've discussed this. When the guy you're reading, when your one read is wide open and you throw it to him, like everybody should be able to do that. And so they had enough coverage breakdowns in that game that if you're running an individual router, you're looking at, that's the one guy you're looking at, the first guy, and you're locked into that guy, which is a real issue for Drew. I mean, he does that a lot. But those guys were all wide open. He delivered the ball. That's good, but it's still not going through a progression. It's still reading one receiver in that route. He just happens to win instantly, and you make the throw. There were a couple of throws where, you know, they've got some type of two-man combo with a back flaring out, and he gets off the combination and hits the back on a flare. Like, there was a couple times where that happened under pressure where I was like, that's good, that's progression. That is a guy that understands, hey, where's my check down? Where's my outlet? Because what I wanted isn't there. Like, that showed a little bit of growth in that particular game.
Now, that was the game, if you remember, where the Broncos were really shorthanded on the offensive line. And Pat Shurmur had to sort of, you know, shrink the playbook a little bit and be a little bit more conservative. I thought Locke was under center far more than we had seen in games all week. They stayed committed to running the football even without huge results. They carried the ball 30 times for 96 yards. So they stuck with it. And Locke's passing day, compared to a lot of weeks where, you know, Shurmur had him throwing the ball 35, 37, 40 times in a game, it was just 27 passes, very high percentage, 21 to 27 for 280 yards,
right,
four touchdowns and no picks. And I remember us talking about that game like, hey, you know, maybe these issues along the offensive line was a godsend because it sort of showed Pat Shurmur the right way to run this offense and set up this offense. Instead, the next week, they got guys back, and it went back to being the same thing. Let's get, you know, three receivers, four receivers out in the pattern and have Drew chuck it up a bunch of times.
Right. Well, there was just early here, like formationally, 12, 11, 11. I'm just going for the personnel groupings, right? So two tight ends is 12, 11 is three wide. So 12, 11, 11, 12. Double right, close is 11. 11, 12, 12, 12, 12, 11, 11, 12, 11, 11, 12. So it's pretty much 50-50. you know, through the first half of that game of how many two tight ends, solo formations, West formations, whatever you want to, however you want to determine what you call those formations, but it didn't matter. Sometimes they would get in two tights and put one of the tight ends in the backfield and make like a weak or a strong, weak right, strong right, weak left, strong, you know, strong left, whatever. But they would do that, or Shurmur would do that, and it worked out well. I think the one thing that was consistent for me that I guess bothers me to a degree is the, like the volume of run. So they had 30 plays, just a lot of different. There were, you know, pin and pull, like G leads. There was tackle lead. There was like bob stuff where two guys pulled, you know, two uncover guys pulled outside, kind of like what they did in Miami. There was power, 17 power, 16 power. There was wide zone. There was tight zone. There was, but it never felt like there was any one thing you hung your hat on, and there was play action off of that stuff. But it was no, and this has been a criticism for me, is what is, like, you're just running plays because why? Because, you know, are you just running them based on scheme? You just, like, there's nothing you're hanging your hat on one thing, and you've got to have a variety of runs. I get that. But there is, at some point, one thing that you have to do exceptionally well.
But you've been talking about that all week. Can you at least acknowledge maybe your bias, and that because of the offenses because of the offenses you played in, you guys were so dominant that honestly you could walk up to the line of scrimmage and go, okay, we're running 19 handoff here, everybody. Here it comes. Have a taste. And they still couldn't stop you. So are your standards so ridiculously high, maybe unfairly high, that a team like the Broncos they're just not equipped to be able to run, you know, something over and over again that clearly establishes this is who we are. This is what our identity is.
Well, I know this. You'll never be able to establish that if you don't establish it. I mean, how do you ever establish anything if you don't work on it? Or if you're willing just to can it because it didn't, you know, it didn't work out. It drives me crazy. You go 3 2-yard runs in a row and that's it. We can't run. Got to throw it every day. You'll throw 8 incompletions in a row and have no problem with it. So it's really hard to get good at any one thing if you're not working on that any one thing consistently, if you're a hodgepodge. And I think the issue is that so many teams refuse to, one, you don't get hired as a head coach because of your running game. You don't. You get hired as a head coach because you develop a young quarterback and he has a great year and you throw it around the ball yard. That's how you get hired. And
really, was Stefanski in Cleveland? He came from Minnesota.
Correct.
That's not
and
a...
And Gary Kubiak was calling the plays.
Right.
Stefanski was the coordinator.
Right. So, but Stefanski in Minnesota, and we certainly know Kubiak, that's not a... You know, throw it all over the yard type offense.
Yeah, well, somebody in Cleveland actually got wise to what actually wins as opposed to what they did for 25 years. Come on, how many times have they hired, you know, well, whoever, Pat Shurmur? How many times have they hired? They've hired those guys. You know, and
instead they went for a guy that's
stable.
Stable.
That understands line of scrimmage play, that understands how an offense, like how you have to establish yourself. And oh, by the way, they are based very much like Minnesota, very much like San Francisco, very much like they're based on wide zone and all the stuff that comes off of wide zone. That is where they hang their hat. Now do they run other things? Absolutely. Everybody does. Yes, absolutely. But there is an identity there for them and they work on it on a consistent basis.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Bridgewater. Broncos, especially in the first half, first three quarters, I mean, they had a really good defensive showing. They really bottled up Bridgewater and the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just, one full week of watching Bridgewater, it's a question I've asked pretty much every day, but it's my final thought on Bridgewater. Mark, either he doesn't want to throw the ball down the field or they never asked him to. It is It was stunning to me all week long watching how few times they really tried to stretch the field.
I think it's interesting you say it. I think there are moments where you've got, you know, deep digs, deep comebacks, like throws that you got to rip it. Like you got to just sit on your haunches and drive the ball. And he does not want to throw. It just looks like he does not want to throw that. Like,
yeah, that's key. Does not want to.
Right.
That's a big difference from can't. You think he can. You don't think he wants to.
I think he is so risk adverse that that's a throw he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. Like I saw a couple in cutting routes that were open. And you just chose, you know, safety's driving on it, and you chose not to throw it and took a sack. He took four sacks.
Yep.
There were some throws he could have made, I thought that he could have made, that just looked like, hey, they were tough throws, and maybe you couldn't get all you wanted on it because you're falling away from the pressure. And so, therefore, you just chose to be risk adverse. And, you know, when you choose to be risk adverse, like, there's a time and place, obviously, right, to be risk adverse. And there's also a time to say, I'm going to let it rip. And you got to kind of, there's almost this innate sense that you have to have, of when to be aggressive, when to say, hey, let's punt and live to fight another day. I think he just errs on the side of let's live to punt and find, you know, live to fight another day.
And that's with maybe coaches who would like to see him.
I think that's probably one of the reasons
risk they paid it a little bit more.
Paid him $7 million to leave.
Yeah.
So, especially.
Well, then how do you feel about.
Like, when you're a team like Carolina, think about this. You're a team like Carolina, you know, you've got in your division, you've got Tampa and you've got New Orleans and you've got Matt Ryan at quarterback. So you've got Drew Brees Hall of Famer, Tom Brady Hall of Famer, Matt Ryan, league MVP, borderline. You got to win a Super Bowl, but he's been really good. Probably not going to be Hall of very good in your division. You're going to lose. You're not winning that division. So let's take some shots.
Yeah.
Right? Let's, and you're so risk adverse you won't. And you run, I mean, let's face it. You run some rinky dink college 5-3-5-5 or whatever it is you run. It's baloney. It'll get exposed. You know, there was enough. They got some players that can run and can do some things that are interesting. I thought the safety who is, Atwater's nephew or something. Gosh, can't remember the kid's name off the top of my head, but, I thought he should have been NFL. I thought he should have been Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about him before.
What is that kid's name?
Jeremy?
Yeah, Jeremy.
Is it Jeremy Chin?
Jeremy Chin.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Hmm. Yeah, you're
like,
yeah,
like my own little Google
machine.
We didn't even get
into the hook. You know what? That's disappointing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I figured it out so fast. Let that breathe a bit. We got to get to the. Play it again, Benny.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin.
It's not. It doesn't matter unless we get to the everywhere I go. There you go.
Yeah, he was really good. Really good.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Everywhere I go. Okay, good.
All right, good.
Okay. Hey, the Fan's store is open right now. Our t-shirts here at the Fan have become a big hit over the years, so we wanted to find a way to make them available to everyone. And we've launched the Fan Store with a collection of swag, including limited edition Fan Jam t-shirts. You know, the design, NBA Jam style with each show. You know, what our strengths and weaknesses are. Your strength is strength.
Yes, yes.
My strength is wedge driving.
Mm,
you know.
High. You're high on the wedge.
High on the wedge driving. High on the wedge driving and the buffet crushing. So get to DenverFan.com right now /store. DenverFan.com/store to get your t-shirts. How much do we admire the job that Jared Bednar has done with the Avalanche? It is time to give him his own song.
Oof.
Just like Michael Malone. The finalists. And your decision coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So congratulations to Jared Bednar and the Avalanche. I thought it was so cute. All the people like James Merrillat and Tyler Palumbis who were panicking. Oh no! What's Bednar doing? All year long he hasn't allowed Philip Grubauer to play back-to-back nights. He's always gone with the backup goaltender. And with the Avalanche in position to clinch the President's Trophy for the best record in hockey and home ice throughout the playoffs.
They don't have the best record in hockey.
Yes, they do.
They don't have
the best. Yes, they do. Based on tiebreakers, they do.
Vegas has 40 wins. They have 39
wins. That's not how they determine ties. It's regulation.
So the team that wins the most games doesn't have the best record?
You have to. It comes down to wins in regulation. Look, hockey's very complex with their standings, okay? You know me. I love the loss column. You know how much I love the loss column?
Yes, you
There's
do.
There's no such thing as a loss column in hockey. It drives me nuts. But be that as it may, the Avalanche finished with the best record in hockey.
Yeah, but if you lose a game, as long as you lose a game in overtime, you get a point because you participated in overtime even though you still lost.
Correct.
That's the dumbest.
You get rewarded for losing.
That is the dumbest. That's the most millennial thing you could do.
What's more of a gimmick? Settling hockey games that way where the loser still can get a point, or having extra inning games in baseball start with a runner at second? What's more gimmicky?
Both teams get to start with somebody at second, right?
And in baseball, if you lose, you lose.
You lose.
Yeah,
right.
Extra innings, you lose.
Hockey is more gimmicky.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just...
Oh,
whatever. Hey, listen, we won the President's Trophy.
All right.
President's Cup. Trophy, whatever.
Yeah, President's Trophy. Okay.
Whoop-dee-doo, Basil. Good for you.
Great job done by Jared Bednar, who clearly knows his team better than the hockey guys, Merrillat and Tyler. Knew his team, knew how they would respond, knew that Jonas Johansson would play just fine, and that the rest of the team would
rally. The Johansson brothers.
And so the Avs get the win. And now we look at, you got to look at Jared Bednar a little differently, right? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, was totally anonymous when he got the job. And people were like, who is this guy? And his first year was just a horrific year. And now he's to the point where he's got the best team in hockey.
Yes.
And I think what he has deserved, what he has earned, is to have his own song, much the way that whenever we talk about Michael Malone, we play the Michael Malone song.
Yes.
I keep forgetting we're not in
love.
So, done.
Now, here's the thing. We asked for some suggestions, and here's what we narrowed it down to some finalists. Here's the thing with Bednar, right? It's got to be a song that captures his cool. He's very cool. Okay? The guy never seems to sweat.
No.
The hair is always in place.
Impeccable.
The suits are just next level.
Taut.
I mean, it's Bond-esque.
Yeah.
Really.
They don't ever flash to his hiney, but I just assume it's taut in those suits. Very taut.
Okay. Hadn't thought of that. But now that you say it.
Yeah.
I could imagine it. Yes. Right. Yes. I could imagine that.
He does not need a stunt hiney.
No, he does not.
No.
I assume.
Yes.
You know, actually, we haven't put this one in there, but I almost think that whenever we talk about Bednar, we should play like the Bond music. Because he is kind of like 007. He has a 007 look about him.
He does.
Right? Can you see him, you know, kind of walking up to a blackjack table in Monaco or something like that?
Right.
Right?
Yes. In a snappy suit.
Right.
All right, well, let's play what we have.
So anyway, so he is very, he's almost robotic in, in how he presents itself. You know, he's almost like a Terminator-esque, which led to, okay, how about this for the Jared Bednar song?
Right? We kept putting pucks in and getting them on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead, and JT Confer had himself a night.
Right, I like that. I like that. Okay, that's good. I like that. Okay, that's one. All right. The other one is, you know, he's so cool, but yet he can still show a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire on the bench, which led to this suggestion. Play some
Bednar. We kept putting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead. JT Confer had himself
so
a night.
Monotone. You know, he's not fire and ice when he speaks. He just is. He's more robotic when he speaks. Not up and down. He doesn't get all hot. He's always, everything feels like they lost every time. Even they win, like last night, score 5 in the second. They win 5-1, and it's still like,
okay. So maybe he's just more ice-like with the way he talks.
They kept putting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead, and JT Confer had himself a night. You know, it turned out to be a good victory for us. And,
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Stop. Collaborate. Stop. Listen. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Now, this one came into, I don't know how exactly this one fits, although maybe we should respect it because, you know, this is a guy who nobody believed in, and yet now here he is sitting on top of the NHL world. He's kind of like us, the Wolfpack, you know? And so maybe he's, maybe this one.
Pucks in, getting in on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead, and JT Confer had himself a night. It turned out to be a good victory for us.
You know what I think now? I think of those, the suits that he wears are kind of shiny, very taut. Then I start thinking about, who are the two dudes from Saturday Night Live banged their heads?
It was
Chris Kattan and
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. What were those guys? What were their names? They made a movie.
Oh, the night at the Roxbury.
Skit. Yeah, Roxbury guys. Yeah, no.
All right, so finally, how about this one? He's cool. He's sharp-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
He's Canadian. And he's so cool, he could probably pull this off.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can
They kept putting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead, and JT Confer had himself a night. You know, it turned out to be a good victory for us. And
I always thought Corey Hart looked like Kubiak.
Okay.
Like Corey Hart had a very Kubiak-esque look to the flat top. And
the more I think about it, the more I like the Bond.
Do we have Bond music?
Because I can just picture.
This is
picture,
asking Benny to go.
I know this is
over and above.
He worked a lot on this stuff, but I know we're asking for something right off the cuff. But you know, think about it. He, you know, the way he's dressed and the he's smooth. He's unflappable.
Oh my!
They kept putting pucks in and getting it on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead. And JT Confer had himself a night. Yep. You know, it turned out to be a good victory for us.
And, you just see him all of a sudden hearing some bears swinging around and shooting somebody.
Yep. Yeah,
I can see it.
Yeah.
Having a gadget, you know, he pulls his phone out of his pocket, throws a poison dart at a reporter he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Guy falls. He goes, somebody check him.
What's your name? Bednar. Jared Bednar.
That's right.
I think we got it. That's perfect.
Yes.
This is going to make Michael Malone jealous.
This is good.
This is good.
Yeah.
Kept putting bucks in, getting on the floor check.
All right,
done.
There you go, Coach. You got your music.
What would Vic Fangio's music be?
I don't know.
All right. Something to think about.
All right.
Something to think about.
I like that one. Yes, Bednar's cool.
Bednar is cool.
Malone is. We got Malone peg.
Yeah, I like it. Malone is Yacht Rock.
I think we got Bednar. Oh, here's Vic Fangio.
Come on, Grady.
Come on.
Come on, Grady.
Come on. This is big.
Yeah. Get ready, Elizabeth. I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Oh,
I love Sam. Red Fox. Oh, Sam Red Fox. Son. That's great. Great stuff.
Oh, that's good,
well,
buddy.
As you guys know, if you know you're playing a lot of five defensive backs a good bit of the time, five or more.
All right. So. There it is, Vic Fangio. Okay, good luck, Avs. It starts Monday night. Monday night at 8 o'clock. Love it when the playoffs come around and the networks consider Denver a West Coast city, and we got the West Coast time slots. Thank you very much. We appreciate that here on the Mountain Time Zone.
At least the networks put them on TV.
Oh. Well, I haven't seen anything yet. I will be curious to see if...
Well, as you guys know, if you know you're playing a lot of five defensive backs,
if the Avs, if the powers that be allow the blackout rules to be waived, and allow everybody to see the game on NBC Sports Network, I think they did that last year.
I hope so.
Let's hope so. All right. Someone's saying the music from Green Acres. Okay. We'll come back and wrap things up on Is It Just Me Friday next. What would be the theme song for Paxton Lynch?
Oh. That his meat was a mighty stealing man, the skipper, baby, true. Right?
Yeah, I guess
here
so.
On Gilligan's Isle.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
I mean, that's just
there
is,
you go.
That's pretty much automatic.
I think that's automatic, yes. Oh my goodness. All right. What did we establish?
What are
this
we
week?
Talking about?
What are we talking
what
about?
What are we talking about? Shimmy, shimmy, doo-wop. I'm on the dedicated. Oh gosh. I hope you guys enjoy this stupidity as much as I do.
Even if you don't, we're going to keep doing
it.
Because we get a kick out of it.
By the way, Spilly.
We laugh our butts off.
Spilly, who was on earlier, just sent you and I both the video of the ninth inning that broke La Russa's glasses.
He was so ticked off at Coors Field that he slammed his glasses and broke them.
Awesome.
And they couldn't fix them, so the next day he had the tape in the middle. Nerds! Went full revenge of the nerds. So, as we put a capper on this week of the Fan Film Room, and we took a in-depth look at Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock against common opponents, and then culminating with their game against each other. Who's your guy right now? Who would you, if you had to call it right now, based on what you saw in the games that we watched this week, who wins the job?
I don't think there's any question that Teddy Bridgewater is more efficient, has a much deeper understanding of what they're trying. Although, I will say this about Vic Fangio in that game early. And he got him a couple times where he was confused, like pre-snap wasn't sure where they were going. So he got him a couple of times with a couple of different things. But the bottom line is
Teddy Bridgewater is a more consistent player, a better player, more consistent from a decision-making standpoint, from an understanding of concept standpoint. The issues that you get into is inability or lack of desire to push the ball down the football field. That's what Vic Fangio told us. That's why he told us he fired Scangarello and hired Pat Shurmur, because he wanted to go down the football field more. So we'll see how that plays into it. I mean, I'm sure that if you're the Broncos, you don't want Teddy Bridgewater to win the job. You want Drew Lock to win the job. But as currently constructed right now, subject to change based upon the work they put in, right now, Teddy Bridgewater, I think if you've done all the film work and the film study that we've done, I think you'd have to make the assessment that Teddy's pretty far ahead of Drew.
Based on what we saw from last year's film. Yes.
Yep. Correct.
Now, the onus is on Drew Lock to come out, and once they get their cleats on the grass, to make everyone, coaches, players, us in the media, fans that will be at training camp, and how cool will that be?
Mm-hmm.
To all say right away, this guy's different.
Yeah.
This guy's different. It looks different. It feels different.
Right.
Because unless that happens, you're right. Based on what we saw this week, I'd rather have Bridgewater as my quarterback.
Right. I do have to go point of order here, because I did hear it and I didn't. I was like, oof. But,
what'd I say?
303.
Did I do a pitchfork in Latin?
Oh, shoot.
Sledgehammer?
The way you said Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, did I?
And then he took a sledgehammer.
It certainly didn't sound like,
oh, really?
Teddy Bridgewater. It sounded
did I go bad?
You went total Drew Goodman on at 7502. I heard it too.
Did I?
It did not sound like Teddy.
Oh, it wasn't Bridgewater that I screwed up.
No.
I did not say I got Teddy.
Ben, do you have the...
Oh, come on now. I thought I said Bridgewater.
No, you didn't say Bridgewater.
I didn't say Teddy Bridgewater?
You said...
I was like...
Yeah.
Jubilee
Bridgewater.
Jubilee Bridgewater.
Yeah, you said it went like a total Drew Goodman dick shot.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I heard it. I tried to let it go, but the text line is not going to let it go.
Really?
Because there's multiple people on this text line.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Evans, did you just go Drew Goodman? Could have sworn I heard that.
Yeah. I heard it, too. Do we have audio evidence of that, Benny?
We don't? Well, I just said it.
He just said it at the very beginning of the show. I mean, at the very beginning of the segment.
Maybe I said, like, titty, like 50 Cent. No?
What'd you say?
I didn't say that.
You...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did I really? People are saying I said it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Ooh. Ben is feverishly searching.
Well, I don't know if I want to play it then again.
No, I mean, we need to play it just to get clarification.
No, it sounds like I said it. Oh, I heard it too.
Yes.
In big block letters. And we took a in-depth look at Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, my.
Somebody's got a new nickname. Hey, we got Chichi Gonzalez was pitching yesterday.
And we took a in-depth look at Teddy Bridgewater.
It's the best way to end a Friday show right
there. That's great.
Yeah.
I did say that.
Yes, you did.
Oh. Think about all the ways I could do this now. Yeah. Instead of Teddy Two Gloves.
Right. Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Bridgewater. And... Dick shot.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
You know what? How many times I'm going to smile during the weekend thinking about Teddy Two Gloves.
Oh, boy.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Life is good.
Oh.
Life is good.
I got tears in my eyes. Oh. Wow.
All right.
That's
hardcore sports.
People. That's going to stick.
Hardcore sports.
So instead of touchdown Teddy, it's.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater. And-
Oh, it's Friday.
What's going on?
I know. What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Let it breathe, baby. Let it breathe.
Sandy's in the other room going, enough with this frivolity.
New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody talking about music.
Okay.
All right. My work's done.
All right.
What a week I've had.
What a week.
What a week.
All right.
What a week.
All right. We are done. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday morning bright and early at 6. Sandy in Orlando coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.